All right, so let's say good morning. Today's Daf is Mem Vav. I'm going to start on Mem Vav. So remember, again, we were speaking about this idea of the rain. And the Yorah was discussing why is it that the rain does not have a makom shvisa in the alkainos in the ocean, to which the Gemara says is talking about a situation of where the rain had already gathered in the clouds prior to the onset of Shabbat and Yom. And as such again, it's makum shvisas in the cloud. So the Gemara wants to then bring a raya to the sugi we had on Shabbos. Now, not meaning in Erevin, but we learned it on Shabbos about whether or not there's yesh tchum in lamalam yud, ain't tchum in lamalam yud. So the Gemara ends off by saying the following: Ella. So the Gemara says, "Mayim hashta da asis lahachi." Actually, we could just start at the first line: Ella mayim ba'avim. Mayid Nayid. So the Gemara says, do you know why the reason why the water in the clouds does not establish a makom shavisa in the clouds? It's because the water in the clouds, Mayid Nayidi, are in constant motion, perpetual motion. And because they're in perpetual motion, so apparently in order for something to acquire a makom shavisa, it has to be at rest. Because the water in the clouds is not at rest, therefore the Maisa, it doesn't acquire makom shavisa. Or says, oh, Hashta the Asis Lahachi, now that you said this, a kindness namilo likshilacha. So now we also understand why water in general doesn't establish a makom shadisa in the ocean. Why? The Gemara says, Mayim ba okainos nami meyed naidi. Because water in the ocean also establishes a makom, is also in constant motion, and therefore does not establish a makom shadisa. The Tanya, and we learned, Naros hamoshin, umaayonos hanovin, Harihein keragle kol adam. But yet we learned that flowing rivers, right, and flowing springs, harihein keragle kol adam, are like that. So whenever you see that phrase, what that means is whoever draws it, so the water gets the tchum of the person who draws the water. Keragle kol adam. It doesn't literally mean like the feet of every person. Keragle kol adam means like the feet of the person who ultimately draws it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Amar Rav Yoshua ben Levi. Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So now we'll say the Gemara comes back, and the Gemara says the halacha follows, I should say, Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Senei Rav Shulam Levi, that the halacha follows Rav Yochanan ben Uri. So remember again, going back to our Mishnah from yesterday, Machlokas Rav Yochanan ben Uri and the Chachamim regarding whether or not a person who is sleeping acquires a makom shvisa. Rav Yochanan ben Uri says yes, that even if you're not aware of, even if you're not aware at the onset of Shabbos, you acquire makom shvisa. The Chachamim say no. We saw yesterday that it seems to be rooted in their fundamental machlokis regarding what? Regarding what? Good. That's right. Regarding Kalim of Hefker. Hefker Kalim. Right? Ownerless came. The ownerless Kalim acquire makom. It's not fair. I shouldn't do that. That's wrong. It's too early. Right before 6:15 at least. So now the Gemara says, the halacha was Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Amali Rabbi Zir, the Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. So Rabbi Zir, the Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. The Therish Shmielacha, O Michlala Shmielacha. When you said now that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, did you hear this explicitly? Or did you learn this? Or did you infer this? Now I will say what that means is, there are two ways that you could arrive at the halacha follows a particular opinion. You could have a masorah, you could have a tradition, passed down from your Rebbe, and from your Rebbe's Rebbe to him, that the halacha is like X. Or it could be learned out or gleaned from a particular episode. So now, Rabbi Zera says, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, you just said, Allah Chavaz Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri, just out of curiosity. Did you hear that explicitly? Or was that inferred from another episode? Amarle, to which Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi responds, Befeir Shmieli, I actually heard it explicitly. Shabosai, the fact that Rabbi Zera asks that question indicates that there's also a case from which we can infer that the Allah Chavaz Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri. So Gemara says, My klala, so what would be that case? What is that case that Rabbi Zeir is referring to that could have been used to infer the halacha was Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? So I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi makes a statement, halacha kidivrei hamekel be'erev. Because I will say, in general, we have a concept that the halacha follows whichever opinion is more mekel with erev. Rashi says, be'erev b'chol mishpatav utchumin mehilchos erevin hei. So also, Rabbi Shulam ben Levi makes a general statement that when laws of Erev, now remember, Erev governs two different sets of laws. Erev Tchumen, which of course is our focus, and Erev Chatzeros, which we really have not yet focused on all that much. So Rabbi Shulam ben Levi says that whoever is Mekel in Erev, Naisa the halacha follows him. So what Rabbi Zero was saying was like this: Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, when you say the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, is that because you heard from your Rebbe that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, or are you just simply adopting the position of Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, seeing that the halacha follows whoever is lenient in Eruv? In this case, the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri and the Chachamim, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri is the mekel. He's the lenient one because he's the one who allows even a sleeping person to establish a makom shvisa. So the Gemara says, but tarti lamali. So now we have to ask ourselves the question, why do we need both statements? So why do I need the Gemara to say the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri? Oh, thank you. Just to also remind you that today's shiur is sponsored by Rose Morrison for the yard site of Sarah Goldstein, and we've been in the merits of Talmud Torah for the Shamu Havan Aliyah. Thank you. So now the Gemara says, why do I need both statements? So why do I need the statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri? And why do I need the statement that says the halacha follows Kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv? Right? It's the same statement twice. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera Tzrichim. Rabbi Zera says, no, you need both statements. Why? Di'i Ashmo Inan Halacha Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Because if the Gemara would have just said the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Hava Amina Bein Lekula Bein Lechumra. I might have thought that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri both when it's a leniency as well as when it's a stringency. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lekula, kigon adam yashen, de'ilo kana shvisa, lo nafik midal alama. So we'll say, Avi, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri's position yields a kula, which is what we've been dealing with until now, which is the idea that even when he's sleeping, he still acquires makom shvisa, bein l'chumra. Now we'll say, there's a chumra. What's the chumra, Rashi says? Kigon kli hefker, I amrit konin shvisa astu laholichan lamakom she'iruv zeha motzan ela alpayim amahu de islu l'chumra. So what's that? There's a chumra. What's the chumra? The chumra is when it comes to kelim. Because what does Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri hold? Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri holds that ownerless kelim establish a makom shvisa, establish a makom, all right, a residence for themselves, which means they have 2,000 amos from where they are. The chumra in that is that let's say Reuven goes ahead and picks up the kli. Reuven picks up the kli, and what happens? Now the kli is governed by the tchum of Reuven who finds it. So we'll say just the opposite. The kli also has its own makom shvisa, which means that even if Reuven finds the kli, he can't necessarily take that kli to his tchum. Ultimately, again, that kli is governed by its own tchum. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri's shita yields a kula legabe the person, a person who's sleeping, but a chumra legabe kelim. So I might have thought that when it says the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, bein lekula bein lechumra, kamash malan halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev. Kamash malan, I will say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, when Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri's position results in a kula, in a leniency, like it does by the sleeping individual. But in the case of the kli, in the case of the ownerless kli, we might not go ahead and pass like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, because in that case, it would yield a chumra, meaning you'd be better off paskening that the kli has the tchum of whoever finds it, because ultimately that allows now the new owner of the kli, who finds the hefker kli, to take it wherever he wants. So if that's the case, halach Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri lamali. So if that's the case, then you just make, would you still just need one of the statements? Make the statement that the halacha follows the one who is mekel in the laws of Eruv, and don't make the statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri. I would have understood from that statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri in the case of the person who is sleeping. To which the Gemara says, it's strict. No, you need it. You know why? Sakadai tchamina, hani mili yochid b'makom yochid, v'rabim b'makom rabim. Because I'll say, I might have thought that when do we say that the halacha follows the divrei hamekel with Eruv? That's only if the argument is between individuals, or if the argument is between one rabbin, one group versus another group. Aval yochid b'makom rabbin. But if, let's say, again, there's a machlokes between one individual and a greater number of rabbis on the opposing side, aim a low. I might have thought the halacha does not follow the mekel. Kamashron, the Gemara says, you need a statement of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri to say what? That even though I need both statements. Statement number one teaches me that Lamaisa, the halacha always follows the one who is mekel in the laws of Eruv. That's number one. Number two teaches me that even though Rabbi Yochanan, if I just had that statement, I might have said, when is that true? When it's an even playing field. When the machlokis is between two individuals or two groups. But if the machlokis is between an individual, a yachid, and the rabbin, and let's say the yachid is the mekel, the rabbin is the machmir. I might have thought that the halacha follows the rabbin, because after all, they have the numbers. Kamash malon, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev. Kamash malon, that even if it's a yachid versus the rabbin, if the yachid is the mekel, the yachid is the lenient one, the halacha follows the yachid. So the Gemara says, and therefore I need both statements of halacha kedivrei hamekel be'erev and also halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So the Gemara now wants to analyze this a little bit. Amrali Rabbi Abaye. So Rabbi said to Rava, excuse me, said to Abaye, Michti. Let's analyze this. Eruv in Drabbanon. Right? The Rabbis say, let's accept the approach that Eruv is Drabbanon. Eruv is rabbinic. Mali Yochid b'makum Yochid, umali Yochid b'makum Rabbin. So Rava wants to suggest, if Eruv is Drabbanon, what does it matter if the machlokis is between an individual and the group, and one individual against another, or one individual against Rabbim, against the group? Meaning, what Rava is saying to Abaye is, because it's a Drabbanon, it makes sense to always go lekula. It makes sense to always go to the lenient position when you have a machlokes. Who cares if it's an individual against another individual or an individual against the collective? So Amarli Rav Papa l'Rava. So Rav Papa said to Rava, really? Ubedrabanon lo shani lan ben yochid b'makom yochid liyochid b'makom rabin. So Rava, really, is that true that you want to suggest that in cases of rabbinic law, we're always lenient, and it doesn't even matter if the lenient opinion is an individual and the more strict opinion is the collective, that we would always go with the individual, even if he goes against a larger group? V'hatnan, but we learned, Rishon Rabbah said, essentially, just so you understand, what you have over here are really two competing halachic values. On one hand, you have the value of that when you have machlokas in a derabbanon, you will adopt the more lenient opinion. That's one principle. And you have another principle of yachid v'rabim, halacha kirabim. Generally, when you have machlokas between an individual and a larger number of people, that halacha usually follows the individual. So these are the competing principles over here. So Rava wants to suggest, did I say that wrong? Right, yachid v'rabim, sorry, you have machlokas between yachid and v'rabim, you follow the rabim. So the Gemara says over here, you have two competing ideas over here. So Rava wants to suggest that, of course, even when in Dirabanans, even if you have a Yachid and a Rabbim, you're still going to go with whoever is Mekel, even if the Mekel is the Yachid. So all Rav Papa comes along and says to Rava, is one second, is that true? V'hatanan, we learned, also an interesting case. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol isha she'avru aleha shlosha onos, daya shaita. I will say, this is an interesting sugya in Nida. So the general assumption is that when a woman becomes a Nida, so we assume that Lemaisa, just because she starts bleeding now, we assume that that blood was still present even earlier than when it first exits the body. It's what's called, it's in Kosle Beis Harechem, it's within the vaginal walls, and it's present. Now, why is that important for us? The truth is, for our purposes, for the way we treat Hilchos Nida today, it's not so important. In the laws of Tumah Tara vis-a-vis Kodesh, vis-a-vis sacrificial or sacred items, it doesn't make a difference. Because let's say for Truma or Kodesh, as soon as menstrual blood dislodges from the uterus, then ultimately again it has the ability to convey Tumah to Truma and to other items. So there's a chashash that when a woman becomes a Nida, how far back do we extend her Nida status? So this is a whole machlokas in the opening mission of Maseches Nida about, is it 24 hours, is it Meis Leit, is it from the last Padika? We're not going to get into that now, but the point that Gemara is making over here is, let's say you have a woman who Shavru Alash Shalosh Onos, three cycles passed and she did not bleed. So we'll say, remember, three cycles create a chazaka. So three cycles also undo a chazaka, or I should say create a counter chazaka. If a woman does not bleed for three cycles, then by definition, she's what's called becheskas mesulekes damim. She has a chazaka, a presumed status, that she's not going to have menstrual blood. So the Gemara says, in that situation, betanya, I'm sorry, dayeshaita. And in that case, Rav Osai, because she has a chazaka of not bleeding, therefore, when she does bleed, we only create a tuma status at the time that she begins to actively bleed, when the blood exits the body, and we do not back up her status at all. It's called dayeshaita. That time when she begins to bleed is enough. So the Gemara says, Vitanya. Now we'll say again, the nafkamina would be, just so you understand why this is important, let's say 10 hours before she went ahead and she became a Nida, she touched Truma. She touched Truma. So is that Truma Temeah or not?
So the Gemara is suggesting that if she went through three cycles and did not bleed, therefore she has a chazaka misulak as damim, and therefore now when she touches the truma 10 hours earlier, the truma itself is not tamei; it would be fine. Daya shaita. V'tanya, and the Gemara says, Maisa va'asa Rebbe k'Rebbe Elazar. So what happened? The Gemara tells a story, and Rebbe once paskined like Rebbe Elazar. First of all, one second, let me just pour you on Rabosa. You can take a look at the last couple of lines in Rashi Kol Isha. So Rashi says over here, just the last few lines, Rashi says, Upligi Rabbanon Ale, the rabbis argue on Rabbi Elazar, Va'omri de'ein hafsakas gimel onos siluk, ela lizikena sha'avru aleha gimel onos, samach lizikna'sa, avabalei delos. Rabosa, the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar. And the Chachamim say that the only time that this idea of missing three cycles gives a woman a chazaka of misulekes, and that she's not going to bleed anymore, is only, bless you, it's only, I guess, what we would say today if she's like premenopausal, right? The meaning a woman is getting older, where then the absence of the menstrual cycle indicates that menstruation has ceased. But the Rabbanon do not agree to this concept when a woman is young. When a woman is young, and therefore, again, for whatever reason, she's not menstruating, but Lenaisa, they don't see that as misulekes dam. So my focus in Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's mekel, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's lenient, and the Chachamim are the ones who are machmir. So the Gemara says, now, Maisa, Tanya, back to the Gemara, Tanya, Maisa va'asa Rabbi k'Rabbi Elazar. So there was a story, this once happened, and Rabbi Paskin, like Rabbi Elazar, Lekula, namely, that in this case, the woman missed three cycles, and now she bled, we did not extend back her Nida status, rather we only treated her as a Nida from this point and on. So the Gemara says, La'acha sheniskar, after he remembered, Rashi says, La'acha sheniskar, mashma deniskar delav shapir of it. After almost like he came to his senses, and he realized that he made a mistake, paskening, like Rabbi Elazar, Amar kidayu Rabbi Elazar lismoch ala b'shas adchak. He said, you know what, I shouldn't have passed like Rabbi Elazar, but you could rely on Rabbi Elazar in a shas adchak, in a difficult situation. And Rashi points out, what was the difficult situation? This was happening during a famine. So the problem is, had he passed like the Chachamim, it would have rendered the Truma Tameya. To go ahead and do that during a famine is not so poshut. So now Rebbe Paskins like Rabbi Elazar, who was the Makel in this case, then has remorse for Paskining like Rabbi Elazar, but then says, I guess, you know what, in this kind of situation of an extenuating circumstance, you could rely on Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, Maila achar sheniskar. What does it mean after he remembered? So if you want to say that after he realized that the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar, but rather it's like the Rabbanan, so we'll say we don't have that concept. If the halacha follows someone, the halacha follows someone, and you don't necessarily have the right just to arbitrarily choose another sheet in an extenuating circumstance. Ella, rather, what must be the case? Rather, we'll say, what's the case? The case is where this is one of these situations in halacha, where the halacha was never actively decided. It was not gipaskin like Rabbi Elazar or like the Rabbanan. So what does it mean la'acha sheniskar? What does it mean after he remembered? La'acha sheniskar, delav yochid poligale el rabbi pligi ale. So we'll say, what did Rebbe realize? Rebbe realized that, you know, so Rebbe said, we had this machlokas in Hilchos Nida. The halacha was never definitively decided like Rebbe Elazar the Rabbanan. So what does Rebbe do? Rebbe paskins like Rebbe Elazar. Then he remembers. What did he remember, says the Gemara? He remembered that although Rabbi Elazar is the Mekel, and this is a Din D'Rabbanon, right? Nida is not a Din D'Rabbanon, but backing up the Tumah status is a Din D'Rabbanon, and he's the Mekel, but since there is a Rabbim, a greater group that is arguing on him, really you should paskin like the Rabbim, but now after the fact that I already passed like Rabbi Elazar, Kedaihu Rabbi Elazar lismoch ala b'shas adchak. Extending circumstances, our line Rabbi Elazar. Amr Kedaihu Rabbi Elazar lismoch ala b'shas adchak. Right? That Rabbi Elazar, this is good stuff. Right? So now I realize Rabbi Elazar is kedai to rely on him b'shas adchak. So Rabbi Elazar, what do you see from that? You see from that that lamaisa, even in dinei dirabanan, right? Even in rabbinic law, we don't automatically side with the mekel when the mekel is a yochid and the machmir is the rabbi. The only reason Rebbe went ahead and passing like Rebbe Elazar in this case is A, apparently at first because he actually forgot about the fact that the Rabbanon argued on Rebbe Elazar, and then the only reason he didn't reverse his psak is because afterwards he realized, you know what, it's the same in these circumstances. So both said, remember, just follow the flow over here. Papa was asking Rava. Rava wanted to say in Erevin, I don't understand why all of you guys are getting into this halach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, halachi the Rebbe Meikel be'Erev. It's much simpler. Erev is the Rabbanon. And when it comes to Dine Drabbanon, there's a machlokas, we always go Lekula. Rav Papa says, not so fast. That's not necessarily true. Let's look at who's arguing. Because again, if you have a Dine Drabbanon, and the machlokas is between the Yochid and the Rabbin, and the Yochid is the Mekel, and the Rabbin is the Machmir, who says that we don't automatically side with the Rabbin? So he brings this case. Here's a perfect raya, where in a vacuum, Rebbe would not have paskin like Rebbe Elazar, even though Rebbe Elazar is the Mekel. Why? Because Rebbe Elazar is the Yochid, and the Rabbim argued on him. Amr of Misharshi al Rava. So Misharshi said to Rava, the Amri de Rav Nachem Rai Yitzchak to Rava. And Rav Nachem Rai Yitzchak said to Rava, Ubid Rabbanon, lo shani bein Yochid b'makom Yochid, bein Yochid b'makom Rav. So also everybody's jumping on Rava. So Misharshi said to Rava, obviously Rav Nachem Rai Yitzchak said to Rava, is that true? That in Dinei Rabbanon we just automatically go Lekula, and we don't look at who are the disputants? We don't make a difference between when it's two individuals arguing versus when it's an individual arguing against a larger group. Vatanya, listen to this. Shmuel Krova. I will say it's a very interesting Gemara. Shmuel Krova. Now, we'll define these terms in just a little bit. Shmuel Krova literally means that you are hearing about a loss. This is talking about a loss for which you are obligated to mourn. Shmuel Krova, you're hearing about it immediately. Immediately is really the wrong word. Literally, it means a close hearing. A close hearing. We'll define in just a moment. No, Heges Shiva Ushlosh. So I'm going to say, here's what this case is. Let's say you hear about a loss, not at the time of the loss. Chassid Shalom, Reuven hears that his mother passed away. But he didn't hear it when she passed away. He hears it sometime after. Now, how much time we'll discuss in just a moment. So the Gemara says, if it's a Shmua Krova, then he observes Shiva and Shloshim. Rechoka, if it's a Shmua Rechoka, he only goes ahead and observes one day of Avelos, one day of Shiva, and that's it. The Ezuhi Krova, the Ezuhi Rechoka. What is a Shmua Krova? What is a Shmua Rechoka? Bisoch Shloshim Krova. If you hear about a loss within 30 days of the loss, Rabbo said that's called a Shmua Krova. That's called a close hearing, and therefore what? And therefore, if you hear about a loss within 30 days, you observe Shiva, and then you observe Shloshim. La'acher Shloshim Rechoka. After 30 days, that's called a Shmua Rechoka. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. The Chacham and the Chacham say, Achas Shmua Krova, V'achas Shmua Rechoka, No Heges Shiva Ushloshim. And I've also said, the Chachamim say, whether you hear within 30 days, whether you hear after 30 days, the first time you hear, that's your Shmua. You have to observe Shiva, and then Shloshim afterwards. But so Rabbi said, fundamental machlokes in Hilchos Avelos. Now remember, Hilchos Avelos is the Rabbanon. It's the Rabbanon. Rabbi Akiva is the Mekel. Rabbi Akiva is the lenient one because he hears that he holds again. Remember, said, the machlokes is only in the realm of Shmua Rechoka. And Shmua Krova, if you hear within 30 days, everyone's agreeing you observe Shiva and then Shloshim. The Shaila is after 30 days. Rabbi Akiva says one day. And by the way, halachic just know, one day doesn't actually mean one day. One day actually means a moment. A moment doesn't mean a moment. A moment means a short period of time, not even a full day. The Chum say no. Even after 30 days, Shiva and Shloshim. So now you have a Din Drabanan, the Yochid is Mekel, and the Rabbim are Machmir. So now says the Gemara, V'omar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mokom Sha'ata Motzi Yochid Mekel, V'Rabbim Machmirim, Halocha Kedivre HaMachmirim HaMirubim. Now Rabbi Yochanan said, in general, whenever you have a situation where you have a machlokas and the individual is lenient, but the collective is stringent, the halacha follows the stringent collective. Right? The halacha follows the halacha follows the one who had the greater numbers. Chutz mizu, with the exception of this, in this case of Avelos, why? Sha'af api Rabbi Akiva meikel v'chachamim machmirim. Because even Rabbi Akiva is lenient and the Chachamim are stringent, and Rabbi Akiva is the individual, and the Chachamim are the collective, halacha kedivrei Rabbi Akiva. The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. V'savar la kishmuel da'amer Shmuel, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'evel. Ba'avel, excuse me. because they're all say, because in general by Avelos is a statement that the, in Avelos we always go Lekula, always go Lekula, and therefore since Sofir Rabbi Kiva is Lekula, therefore Lemais we hold like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Avelos with Akilu Barabanon, Aval Ba'alma Afilu B'Darabanon, Shani Ben Yochid B'Makom Yochid, Ben Yochid B'Makom Rabbin. So I will say, what do you see from here? It's only in Avelos. That we say that we're. See, also what the Gemara is saying, what Shmuel's statement is, the halacha follows the Divrei HaMekel in Avelos no matter what. Which means that even when that concept competes against other concepts, like Yochid Rabim, Halacha Kirabim, we're always Mekel when it comes to the laws of Avelos. And that's true, and so therefore, it's only by Avelos where the rabbis were lenient to say that there's no distinction between when there's an individual arguing against an individual. Or an individual arguing against the collective on the base. So I will say, so just pointing out over here, so remember the Gemara is bringing this as a raya against Rava. Rava wants to suggest that whenever you have a Dirabanan and you're Mekel, so the Gemara is bringing this case of Avelos to show that yes, this is a case of a Dirabanan where you're Mekel. Not only are you Mekel, but you're passing with the Yachid against the Rabbim, but the Gemara is suggesting that that's just a din by Avelos, not a din by anything else. So therefore, again, by other Dirabanans, however, what would you do? You would have to look as to who the disputants are. If it's a Yachid against the Rabbim, then Enochinami, you might go with the Rabbim, even if the Rabbim are what? Even the Rabbi Machmir over the Yachid who's Mekel. Rav Papa says no. So we'll say, so just stop here for just a moment. So now the Gemara brings this case of Avelos to Shter Rava. So what's happening now is Rava's statement has been effectively, I won't call it refuted, but it's been challenged. So now Rav will say, now first of all, you should just know, we happen to pass and make Rabbi Akiva and Hilchos Avelos, and therefore if you hear about a loss after 30 days, you do not observe Shiva and Shloshim, but rather again, you observe one shortened period of Avelos, and that's all. Now I will say, but for our purposes over here, to go back now we're back to our original discussion, which is the Gemara brings down two statements, one that says Halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and one that says Halacha divrei HaMekel Be'ir. Rav Papa says, Itzrich. You need both statements. Why? Saka daitcha amina, hani midi be'eru v'chatzeros. See, well, here's what's interesting. I might have thought that when do we say, halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv? Maybe that's by eruv chatzeros. Aval be'eruv tchumen ema lo, but by eruv tchumen, maybe not. Maybe we're not automatically mekel by it. Therefore, tzricha, therefore you need both. So the Gemara says, meaning also, therefore I need both. Halach falak divrei hamekel be'eruv, and halach rabbi yochanan ben uri. The Gemara says, umenat temra, the shanalan ben eruv chatzeros, eruv tchumen. But one second, why would you think to distinguish between eruv chatzeros and eruv tchumen? Right, so I see what the Gemara is saying is, I need both statements because I might not have thought that we're automatically mekel in a case of Erev Tchumin, only Erev Chatzeros. Why? Disnan, Rabbi Huda, Pamejar Mamurim, when is this true? We'll discuss when this is. When is this true? I'm sorry. Pamejvarim Amurim, Be'eruve Tchumin, with an Erev Tchumin. Aval Be'eruve Chatzeros, so we'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. So the Bresh Yobah is talking about the idea that you could only make an Erev for a person if they want it, or now they want it, with their consent, with their active consent. But you can't make an Erev for someone if they don't actively consent to it. So the Gemara says, when is that true? In Eruvei Tchumen. That's true with an Erev Tchumen. Aval Be'eruvei Chatzeros, when it comes to an Erev Chatzeros, Ma'arvin Bein Ladas Bein Shelo Ladas. You can include a person in the Erev Chatzeros, whether they know about it or they don't know about it. Why? Shezachin la'adam shalo b'fanav, ve'ein chavin la'adam ela b'fanav. Because they're both saying, you're permitted to do something that is objectively beneficial for an individual, with or without their knowledge. But you can't do something that is detrimental to someone without their express permission. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. Erev Chatzeros, is an objective zuchus. Because what does Erev Chatzeros do? Erev Chatzeros allows me to carry from my home to the chatzer, from my chatzer to the home. There's no downside to that. That's an objective zuchus. Therefore, I can go ahead and make an Erev Chatzeros on behalf of Reuven, even if he doesn't even know about it. Erev Tchumen, however, does have a downside. Remember, what's the downside of Erev Tchumen? Right. What you pick up in one direction, you lose in your other direction. So remember, if I extend my Tchum north, that means I lose my ability to travel 2,000 amos east, west, and south. So because of that, there's a chov, there's a downside to that, and therefore I can't make an Erev Tchumin on behalf of someone without their express permission. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, so we'll say, according to this approach, therefore, Rav Papa wants to suggest that therefore you need the two statements. You need Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel BeEruv, because I might have thought that that just applies to Erev Chatzeros. Therefore, the Gemara adds in the second statement of what? Halacha Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, that teaches us what? That not only are we makel by Erev Chatzeros, but where else we makel? By Erev Tchumen as well. Rav Ashi says, I'll tell you why. It's Tzrich. You need both statements. Again, of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel BeEruv and Halacha Kedivrei Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. Why? Listen to this. Salka Dait Chanina, I might have thought, Hani Mili Bishiyure Eruv. Now, we'll say, when do we say that Lemaisa, Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel BeEruv, that's with the Eruv leftovers. Eruv leftovers. Now, look at Rashi. Bishiyure Eruv is interesting. Sheniach Eruv B'makom HaMishtamer. You go ahead and you place an Eruv in a place that is Mishtamer, in a place that is guarded. Lekama Shabbos. So we spoke about this case earlier. Let's say, I don't want to make an Eruv Chatzeros every single week. So what do? I go ahead and I put food in a place where it's going to remain secure. And I'm going to rely on that for a number of weeks to come. And what happens? V'nisma'ita ochel mishir beis u'lish. We'll say, we'll discuss that the shear for Erev Chatzeros is you need enough food for two meals. And let's say what happens over the course of time. The amount of food diminishes. Either maybe rodents get to it, or because the guy in whose house the Erev is being kept snacks on it a little bit. So what happens? The amount of food of the Erev diminishes over time. It's less than two seudos now. So the halacha is makil. Rashi is makil in beilach shure. So I will say, in a case of shiure Erev, once the Erev was established in the appropriate way, I would say we're makil even if you don't have the necessary amount of food going forward. Once it's established, it's established. Ava betchilas Erev. But maybe when it comes to the actual creation of the Erev, Rashi says, Aval, b'machlokes shel tchilas Erev, lo nezel basar mekel. But I might have thought that maybe when it comes to the establishment of the Erev, maybe we're not automatically following the lenient opinion in that case. Therefore the Gemara says, Emalo, therefore the Gemara says, v'hadr b'yokran ben-uri, k'tchilas Erev damit. So we'll say again, what the Gemara is saying over here is like this. If the Gemara would have just said the halacha follows k'divrei ha-mekel be-Erev, like the one who's lenient in the laws of Erev, I might have thought, when is that true? After the Erev was established, and now maybe certain aspects of the Erev have been compromised. Oh, halacha kedivrei ha-mekel be-Erev, you could be lenient with the Erev. But maybe when it comes to establishing the Erev mitchila, if there's a machlok yaseh, then maybe we're not so mekel. Kamash on the Gemara says, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben-Nuri. That we're mekel even with what? Even in the establishing of the Erev. So Gemara says, umenah teimra, dishani lan ben shiure Erev letchilas Erev. I will say the Gemara has a very interesting question. How do you know that you could distinguish between the actual creation of the Eruv versus Eruv leftovers? How do you know that you can make that particular distinction? As the Gemara says, the following. When is this true? Betchilas Eruv. I will say, when is it true that you need mazon shtei sudos, that you need enough food for two meals? That's when you're first creating the Eruv. But when you're talking about Erev leftovers, even any amount is enough to keep the Erev going once the Erev was established in the appropriate way. So we'll say the Gemara says something very interesting. And the only reason, the truth is, why we need, so there are actually different ways to understand this statement. If you look at Rashi, the only reason they said that you need an Erev Chatzeros is in order that the Erev not be forgotten for children. Rashi says, Sholishkach Torah's Erev Midoros Haboim, about Iker Erev Betchumina. So also, here's what's interesting. Even though, technically speaking, the Gemara is saying the Iker concept of Shtei Seudos, of having enough food for two Seudos, is a din in Erev Tchumin. Not a din Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros apparently you can make with much less food. So why do we require Muslim Shtei Seudos, enough food for two meals by Erev Chatzeros? In order that what? In order that the concept of Erev not be forgotten. Now what does that mean? Because also, I guess what the Gemara is driving at is, most people will not necessarily have an involvement in Erev Tchumen. Because the truth is, most time you're not really traveling all that much on Shabbos. Erev Chatzeros is something that people had constant contact with. So the Gemara says that they essentially used the shear for food, the Erev Tchumin, and applied it by Erev Chatzeros, not because Erev Chatzeros needs it, but rather why? Said people should remember the concept of Erev Tchumin. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zreika, Amru. Okay, so we'll say, so now here's what we've shown so far. Number one, we've shown that in reality, you need both statements. You need the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri Rabbosi, which is true. That's how we pass it in the Mishnah, that even if you're sleeping at the onset of Shabbos, you still acquire for yourself a makum shvisa, and you have 2,000 amos. So number one, the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Number two, the halacha follows Kedivrei HaMekel be'eruv. Now the chiddush of that is what? The chiddush of that is eruv, like avelos, will be that the halacha follows Kedivrei HaMekel even when it's a yachid that argues against a rabbi. But that is not automatically true in every din derabanan. There are dinei derabanan where even though, again, the default position in dinei derabanan is to be mekel, that's only if what? That's only if the mekel is the collective, is the larger number. But if you have a derabanan and you have an individual arguing against the collective, then lemaisa it's not so clear that you would just automatically say aloch kedivrei mekel. Yes.
10 versus 30.
In this case, we're going with one.
No, but when we talk the word yachid,
yep, one.
It's always one.
Yep.
Now, if there's two groups, then
that's a rabbim against a rabbim.
Correct.
So the Gemara says the following. Now, we'll say, now that we started this, the Gemara actually gets into a very interesting discussion about what we call klali hora. So klali hora means, you know, there's a whole system for paskening halacha. And in different situations, different tanoim have certain authority over others. So the Gemara gives some examples of this. It's actually very interesting. What's interesting about this is these are the kinds of things where if you have a good memory, you can remember these concepts. They're actually very helpful in learning Gemara. Because then when you see Machloksim, you already know where the Gemara is going to end up. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, for example, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zreika, Amru, Halachik Rabbi Kiva Mechavirov. So for me, so the Gemara says, for example, when you have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and his disputant, right? So the halacha follows, The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro, which means that when Rabbi Akiva goes and argues against someone, the halacha always follows Rabbi Akiva. Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. Now we'll say chaveiro means his disputant, which doesn't necessarily mean a group. It means when Rabbi Akiva argues against another person, the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. Ukrabi Yosi mechaveirov. And interestingly enough, the halacha follows Rabbi Yosi mechaveirov. Even if Rabbi Yosi argues against the group, the halacha follows Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara says, Ukrabi mechaveirov. And the halacha follows Rebbe when he argues against his fellow. Lamai Hilchasa. So the Gemara says, what does it mean when you tell me the halacha follows? What does that statement mean? Rabbi Asi Amar halacha. Rabbi Asi says, literally it means that the halacha will follow Rabbi Akiva. The halacha will follow Rebbe. The halacha will follow Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chiya Amar Matin. Rabbi Chiya Amar Matin. Rabbi Chiya says it doesn't necessarily mean that the halacha follows them. Rather, Matin means what Rabbi say. We lean in the direction of these individuals. So Rashi points out over here what that means is that we lean in the direction, although in the public shiurim we won't necessarily announce that the halacha automatically follows like these opinions. Rabbi Yosi Bar Bichanina Amar Nirin. Rabbi Yosi Bar Bichanina says that it doesn't even mean that we paskin like that. It doesn't even necessarily mean that we go like that, but we won't teach in the public shiurim. Rather, nirin means that when we look at this machlokes, their opinion seems to be more credible. So we vest their opinions with more credibility at the outset, but it doesn't necessarily mean that what? That we'll actually paskin that way in the conclusion. All right. Kiloshnazeh, so we'll say just different machlokes about how to deal with these opinions. So the Gemara says, Kiloshnazeh, if you look at Rashi says nirin aruye lo morina, we won't necessarily paskin that way. However, ve'im osek rabiosi lo mahadri uvda. So we'll say again. So here you have three different statements. Halacha means the halacha follows like this particular individual, and even against the rabbi, we will still pass like that individual. Nirin means that lemaisa. Excuse me. Matin means that lemaisa we paskin, but we won't necessarily teach it that way in public. And nirin means that the opinion seems to be more solid. We won't even necessarily paskin like that, but if you actually paskin like that, we won't make you reverse your decision. Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rabbi Yochanan says, if you have machlokes in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. The ain sarach lomer. And it goes without saying, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Halacha Rabbi Yossi. That when you have a dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Hashta b'makom Rabbi Yehuda lesa b'makom Rabbi Yossi mibai. So the Gemara says, if the halacha follows, Hashem makom Rabbi Yehuda lesa. If his opinion doesn't hold up in the place of Rabbi Yehuda, makom Rabbi Yossi mibai. Amar Avasi af ani lomed. If Rabbi Asi says, I also hold that the correct gear says like this. Rabbi Yossi v Rabbi Shimon halach Rabbi Yossi. If Rabbi Yossi argues on Rabbi Shimon, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Huda v Rabbi Shimon halach Rabbi Huda. That if you have malachus in Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. Hashda b'makom Rabbi Huda lesa. So again, ultimately, if he doesn't hold up in front of Rabbi Huda, the makom Rabbi Yossi miboy. Okay, iboy lu. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir v Rabbi Shimon mai. What happens is machlokes in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Right? What do you do in this case? So the Gemara says, teiku. They both say, what teiku means, just means, is that there's not a klal hara here. That will be a case-by-case decision. Meaning, all saying all these other cases, what they're saying is, when A argues against B, the halacha follows A. So there are certain groupings with whom you can't necessarily make a klal. It's a case-by-case basis. Amar Rabbi Misharshia, les lehu lahani klali. Rabbi Misharshia says, I don't believe in any of these principles. You know, Rabbi Misharshia says, I don't believe that you can say that when A disputes B, the halacha follows A. Rabbi Misharshia seems to say, I feel like in every single case has to be decided on its own merit. Samana leila Rabbi Misharshia. What makes Rabbi Misharshia say this? Ilema meha, maybe you'll say from this case, this nan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, was it actually from our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon says, Lemaha davar doma. To what can this be compared? The gimel chatzeros hapesuchos zulazu, to three courtyards that are open one to the other, upsuchos sarabim, and they're open to the public domain as well. Irvu shtaim achitzonos imhayem tsois. If the two outer ones made an erev with the middle one, himu teres imah. So the middle one could interact and travel to both of the outer ones. Vehein mutares imah, and the two outer ones could interact and travel into the middle one. But of course, the two outer ones have nothing to do with each other, and therefore can't travel one into the other. The Amarav Chamavar Gurya Amarav Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. The Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. Uman Polig Ale. And who is the one who would argue in Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda. The Ha'amr, but we just said above, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. But yet we just said before, when you're going through all of the Kali Hora, that what? When Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda argue, that Allah Rabbi Yehuda, and Allah Shmamina, less no. So Rabbi Shashi says, oh, what do you see from here? That the principles you espoused are wrong. You said before that Rabbi Yehuda argues Rabbi Shimon, Allah Rabbi Yehuda. I'm just showing you now Mefurshah Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing in Rabbi Shimon, and what? That Allah follows Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Oh my kusha, it's not such a kasha. Rabbi said, when do we say these principles? Dilma hecha de itmar itmar. Hecha de lo itmar, lo itmar. So Rabbi said, the Gemara says, no, you misunderstand. When do we say these principles, Rabbi saying? When the Gemara says that the halacha follows a particular opinion, okay, game over, that's it, the halacha follows that opinion. When do we use these principles, Rabbi saying? When the Gemara does not come to a definitive conclusion. So when the Gemara doesn't come to a definitive conclusion, that's when the Gemara says, let's use all of these principles. So for example, if there's a machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara does not come to a definitive conclusion, so who does the halacha follow? Rabbi Yehuda. But if the Gemara comes to a definitive conclusion, tells the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, okay, of course, we're not going to shtare a mefurish conclusion of the Gemara by applying a principle. So the Gemara is just saying, you're misunderstanding the principles. The principles are there to help you in a case where there is no definitive conclusion. Then you use these principles to say who the halacha follows. But when the Gemara itself comes to a definitive conclusion, then of course we follow the definitive conclusion of the Gemara. All right, boss, I will stop over here for today. Shol, have a good day. My pleasure.